Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer, IndyCornrows.com, and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's episode, all talking about the Pacers' disappointing 107-100 loss to the Orlando Magic, and that's where we should start today's show. Pacers lose their fourth straight game and was albeit a less than spectacular fashion to one of the bottom eight teams in the NBA, give or take. They essentially lost this game to Terrence Ross, who had 30 points on 5 of 8 from 3 and 11-18 overall. He just destroyed them all night. I would say this felt like the worst game from the bench all season, and kind of the first thought I had watching this game was, of course this team is not playing well. Of course the Pacers are not very good right now. They're playing three essentially rookie players. They're playing Sumner, Holiday, obviously, who are rookies, or I guess I don't know where Sumner qualifies as, essentially, actually. And then Leaf, who is, for all intents and purposes, a second-year really rookie because they didn't play a ton last year kind of player. And of course this team is not winning a lot of games. They're relying on three guys who, frankly, at this point in the stage of their career, should not be playing NBA basketball. I mean, even Holiday really doesn't really look like he belongs out there. You know, they just combined, they each were minus 10, so they were combined minus 30. Not that it really matters, they're on the court at the same time, but they were minus 10 as a group, essentially, on the court. Holiday had 0 points, Sumner had 4, and Leaf had 3. Neither of the three players really understands where to be defensively yet. Neither of the players really understands how to fit into an offense, and this is nothing that's necessarily these players' fault. They are brand new. They're being thrown into a situation where it's unfortunate and not really set to succeed. The Pacers are kind of, I would say, half-assing this whole young kind of thing where they're like, well, okay, OD was out, now we'll play young guys. Well, they're kind of half-assing it by essentially throwing these guys out there together to play against units of guys who play together all season together. Because even like Mo Bamba, who I still think is a pretty raw product, isn't that great. He at least has experience playing with Ross and Briscoe and other guys where he's played them for going on 50 games now, so he understands at least what to do a little bit better than like Leaf and Sumner, who literally is playing in like his fifth NBA game, and Holiday, who's, you know, Holiday, Leaf, McDermott, Sabonis essentially playing what their first, really their first game together, and it may be, you know, the fifth time they've been on the court for extended minutes together all season long. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you know, Sabonis goes 1 of 9, and right, do you blame Sabonis, who, granted, missed some shots he probably should have made, or do you say, well, he's being double-teamed because the defense knows we don't have to guard Sumner, we don't have to guard Leaf, they don't really have to do anything, we just have to make sure Sabonis doesn't destroy us, we'll let everybody else kind of shoot the ball as much as we want, and we'll see what happens. I mean, that's what you have to think about a little bit, is that Sabonis' struggles are not necessarily independent of himself, it has to do with everybody else, him playing with essentially a lineup which, I don't know where he ranked McDermott, I don't think McDermott even is a rotation playoff player. I mean, he's essentially playing with four guys who probably shouldn't even be in a rotation of a team competing for a top four seed in the playoffs, even a playoff team. I mean, McDermott hasn't really been on a playoff team yet. I think he has some playoff minutes. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but I know he doesn't have a ton of experience in the playoffs, and I don't think he really is on, you know, he provides one thing, spacing, but when you have, you know, point guard Aaron Holiday out there who not his fault, but isn't ready to lead the offense, it's just, it's a domino effect. And that's, you know, the Pacers sacrificed that to have a solid starting lineup, and they played the starters a lot of minutes. But they played all their starters 31 or more minutes. They played Bojan 35, Turner 35, Joseph 37. That's how they're going to have to win these games. I mean, they're going to have to rely on those top guys to win these games because they no longer have the benefit of like, okay, well, we can kind of let Oladipo play with Sabonis and McDermott and, I mean, I guess that lineup really used to be kind of like Evans and Joseph, that was kind of a lineup out there they threw out. And we can do that because even though it's kind of this misfit, doesn't work, Oladipo's so good, he makes everybody else better, and it's a positive lineup. Well, now they don't have that. They don't have a guy who can kind of carry a lineup. I mean, Evans being out is critical, and I'm not saying it's not important, but I think him coming back and thinking all the problems are solved or this team is going to be even more, like, markedly better, I guess. They're pretty marginally better for sure, but they're going to be even like more than, I don't know, what is he bringing, an extra 5 points per game, give or take? Like, it's not like Oladipo, where if Oladipo comes back, you know he's guaranteeing like a 10 to 15 point swing a lot of games. Where Evans is maybe 3 to 5. I mean, if that, I'd be overselling Evans even right now. And so you know, after today's game, I mean, I know it was a back-to-back for them. I understand that Orlando had, I think, a day off, so that wasn't that different for Orlando. I understand the Pacers were down two players, obviously. I just, you know, I'm not sure I see a path for the Pacers to really win more than, like, seven or eight games the rest of the year. I'm really not sure. I mean, you know, you just bring up their schedule. You're looking at, like, so at Miami, at New Orleans, both losses. At the Lakers, or home Lakers, home Clippers, with LeBron's back, probably both losses. Cleveland's a win, maybe. Obviously, that could be a win. Charlotte's no guarantee. Milwaukee's no guarantee. New Orleans, again, no guarantee. Washington, clearly no guarantee. Detroit, no guarantee. Dallas, no guarantee. Minnesota, no guarantee. Orlando, no guarantee. Chicago, guarantee. That's two. Milwaukee, Philly, New York might be three. Denver, Portland, LA, Golden State, Denver, Oklahoma City, Boston, Orlando, Detroit, Boston, Brooklyn, Atlanta. I mean, I see four guaranteed wins in their schedule. I see they play Atlanta one time, they play Chicago one time, they play Cleveland one time, and I guess they, if you want to add in New York, they play New York. So those are kind of four guaranteed wins, maybe. I mean, those are pretty four pretty bad teams they should beat. But they're looking at a lot of toss-up games, like Detroit a lot. They play Detroit three times. It's all those are toss-up right now at this point. Charlotte toss-ups. I mean, New Orleans might be a win because they're without Davis, but I don't know. I just don't know if I see a path for this team really to succeed this season. And it's not necessarily the worst thing, I guess, the way to put it, because what do you expect? I mean, this team is kind of built all on Oladipo, and without him, the whole thing falls apart. Now, I want to give a quick shout-out and credit to Miles Turner, who I think really sort of took it upon himself to try to help this Pacer team win and carry them. He had a fantastic night. I mean, he's going to have more nights like that, and maybe at some point Turner sort of blossoms here because he just has to be the guy, and that's how they win some more games they shouldn't, right? Because, I mean, they're 32-19 at this point. They probably need 10 wins to guarantee a playoff spot. So look at the NBA standings right now. Just take a quick little peek around there. The Charlotte Hornets are 24-26 as the 8th seed, so I would say between 40 and 42 wins. So 10 guarantees them, 8 puts them in contention, 9, 50-50. Somewhere in there is going to be a playoff spot, is 40 to 42 wins. Like I said, I put 4 guaranteed. Turner's going to, you know, to get those other 4 to 6 wins is going to be on Turner, frankly. You know, I guess Evans coming back should help them win a couple more games, but the way he's been playing, I don't know if I can count on that, but it's going to be on Turner, who had a really good night tonight, to carry them against teams like, I would say, Detroit, Orlando, who they play a couple times, and maybe even Brooklyn, who they play. I mean, it's going to take Turner having kind of a Herculean effort, maybe the way to put it, just Turner being really solid. And he's got to do it on both ends, too. I mean, he was okay tonight. I mean, he wasn't, you know, he had 7 rebounds. You know, he might get the number to like 12 or 13. Isaacs did a pretty good job rebounding. And so did Vucevic. They combined for 23 rebounds. I mean, if you look at the team stats-wise, the Pacers got out-rebounded by 6 rebounds. They really didn't get outshot. They actually made more shots. They were terrible from 3. That's a whole nother issue. They've been struggling from 3-point range for, 4 games that big, essentially. I mean, I can't tell whether their 3-point shooting is just a slump or it's they don't have the spacing and the threat that Vic brings on offense, it opens it up for everybody else. You know, Collison was shooting, I think, is shooting 50% from 3 over his last month, give or take. I think tonight he was 1 of 3, so not a 50% game for him. But, you know, is there 3-point shooting? You know, they've got Bojan and they've got Collison and Turner, who actually been shooting in the 40%. Are they all shooting well from 3 because, before Oladipo hurt, because of him, or are they shooting 1-3 because they've got 3-point shooters? You know, some of them might be spacing. I mean, Oladipo commands a lot of attention on defense, and that's could be the reason, you know, they were able to get these high 3-point shooters. I mean, they're looking percentages-wise from 3-point range. You've got Bojan, who shot 43, Collison's now shooting 41, McDermott 40, and Turner 38. All those numbers are down since Oladipo got hurt, and you expect some of that, but, you know, this whole offense is built around what Oladipo can do, and him not being there is basically pulling out, you know, it's pulling the rug out from the entire team. And, you know, I wonder if I'm Kevin Pritchard, I'm sitting up there and I'm looking at this team, I'm like, we don't have a chance. I mean, we really, the way we're constructed right now, we don't have, even if Evans comes back, we really don't have a shot. Why am I not thinking about making a move? Why am I not, you know, do I just sort of, you know, do you throw in the towel and say, this team isn't doing anything? Like there's some part of me, and Tony says in yesterday's podcast that you owe something to the veterans, right? You owe the veterans something, like we have to give them a shot. We have to try to win games. But I don't see how this team wins games with these veterans. I mean, essentially looking at guys who each have flaws individually that are pretty glaring. I mean, you got Darren Collison, just not a good defender. You got Thaddeus Young, who really can't shoot the ball, essentially. I mean, he is kind of, shooting 42% on the year, I think, right? Or not 40, sorry. He's shooting 34% from three, but he's a guy who can't stretch the floor. He's a guy who relies a ton on backdoor cutting and tip-ins, and, you know, he's just got his flaws offensively where he can't really be the lonesome scorer. He relies a lot on other players to set him up, which is fine. It works when you're around Vic. You got Bojan, who is an okay defender and really is not a great one-on-one scorer. He's a guy who you need to run a lot of picks for and get him open a lot of ways. Turner needs a lot of ball creation from the score. I mean, really all four of their starters need another player to set him up. And having Victor there sets everybody else up, but him not being there means they have to kind of work off each other. And the defenses are realizing, like, well, neither guy can score on their own. We just need to, like, isolate the one player. So, you know, Turner's going to get his shot sometimes because he's going to double-team Collison, but they'll stop, and Collison will take some of the Vic shots, but he won't make them at nearly a high of rate, and then we'll be back in the same situation, you know. This is just, I don't, you know, I understand their inclination to give the vets the benefit of the doubt and the ability to really try to prove themselves and make a playoff run, but at this point, what are you doing that for? You just got to figure out, you know, what is the team that you wanted to build for Vic heading into 2019? What is that team? That team is probably a Turner, Sabonis, Holiday, Oladipo, and maybe two of Joseph, Bojan, Collison, and Thaddeus Young. Maybe one of those guys. So then why are we keeping the other ones? Like, why not try to trade them? They're expiring contracts. Why not trade for other assets? Why not get young guys even more minutes? Why not go really experimental? Like, what is the point? I mean, are you worrying about damaging Miles Turner's confidence or Sabonis' confidence with those guys? I feel like the way they're heading right now, yeah, you give the guys a shot at winning or making the playoffs, but you're irreparably damaging their ability because they realize they cannot do without Vic, and they're just kind of like going to have that realization versus like letting them play young guys, letting guys work through some of their flaws and really kind of developing players, which is, I think, at least better off than just kind of riding the ship with a bunch of veterans and saying, yep, well, we tried, you know, Miles Turner, we gave you the veteran guys, so you should trust us now, even though we went, you know, 8-27 without Vic. Like, clearly we need Vic. So I don't know. I don't think any of the guys that are keeping long-term are naive enough to think that trading Thaddeus Young or trading Darren Collison means the team is like giving up on them. They should be smart enough to realize that it's a move towards the future, and that's the thought, you know. And especially, I think, right now, you know, you saw it with the Porzingis trade. Everybody's going to have cap space. Everybody wants cap space. Everybody's going to use it on somebody. Everybody's going to do whatever it is. They got to get a guy. Players have got to get a guy without being in free agency, because they're not going to get a guy in free agency, essentially. They got to go out and trade for somebody and make a move for somebody, you know, like a Mike Conley. I mean, Kristaps, I understand they couldn't get in on that, but whatever. But like a Mike Conley, I keep saying that over and over again. Mike Conley is the guy. Drew Holiday. They've got to go make a move for somebody. And I think if you do it now, you at least put a really good player and give that really good player time to develop with Miles Turner and Sabonis versus, you know, a delayed, and then you've got to integrate Vic back in with that guy and with Miles Turner. Like, at least if you get a big guy now, you could integrate him with your future guys. And, you know, if they got a Mike Conley, they might have a shot at, you know, making some noise in the playoffs or winning more games in the way of the playoffs. Even if they have a thinner rotation, they have a guy who can maybe carry them a little bit in the next 2 or 3 months, because that's what they need. This team needs a guy to carry them. That's what Vic did. That's how this team is designed. That's how this team has always been designed. It was designed for Paul George to carry them, and when he really kind of passively did that in his last season here, when he wanted to carry them, he could, and not, they struggled, and that's how this team is built, and that's how these Pacers teams are built until they get two guys in here, is to have one guy carry them. So, I don't know. They got to figure out how to get a guy to carry this team, because either Turner's got to step up, which he did tonight, but I don't know if he's enough of a, you know, dynamic player to carry the offense versus, you know, they got a guy like Mike Conley or Drew Holiday. I don't know. This was probably, you know, it isn't quite the tipping point for me. I think they lose to Miami on Saturday. That might be the full panic button. I had a half panic button after the loss to the Wizards. But I think if they lose to Miami, we're going to, you know, it's full panic mode of like, okay, this team cannot win without Vic. I think Tyrese ended up playing Saturday and is returning to join the team again on Saturday. So I wonder if he's probably going to play. So they start losing with Tyreek. It's full panic. Make a move before the February 7th deadline. That's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. Follow me at FreedomAdam5. Follow my co-host Tony East at TEastMBA. We'll be back with a weekend show, and then we'll be back on Monday. Tony will do a weekly show, hopefully doing some trade deadline stuff. I mean, we're probably going to come together with a full list of 6 or 7 possible trades, so we'll do that podcast for you guys, and then we'll hopefully have a mailbag coming up after the trade deadline. So that is all for the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you have a great rest of your day.